all ready to come, and the Holy Spirit said, add this. I said, making a point for y'all. In Matthew, in chapter 6, you remember when the disciples said, teach us how to pray. And he told them, this is how I want you to pray. He said, our Father in heaven. Our Father. You're praying to the Father. Our Daddy. Do you get that? So the Holy Spirit said, our Daddy in heaven. Hallowed be your name. That's how personal he wants you to make sure you understand when you pray. He said, Father, Daddy, hear me. I have a request. I've got called so-and-so needs prayer, and I'm here to intercede for them. That's valuable to him. Because you're his children. And he loves hearing from his children. And so, if you are alive, and you're still breathing, yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Right? Praise his name, praise his name. Yeah. What does Psalm 34:1-2, Passion Translation, Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what you've done for me. My lips are full of perpetual, never-ending praise. I'm boasting of you and all your works. So let all who are discouraged, take heart. Take heart. Join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. And that's what we did. I don't think there was anybody that was downtrodden when we were singing today. Because what did we do? We ushered in a King of Glory. He's here. He's here amongst us. He's in the midst. He's sitting one seat behind Michael. That means he's in the middle. Just think of that, Michael. Jesus is sitting right behind you. He knows your thoughts. You don't even have to speak them. I know when he looks into my head, I got to clean it up all the time. But Psalm 68, verse 4 says, sing to God, sing praises to his name, exalt him who rides on the clouds. His name is Yahweh, and rejoice before him. Rejoice. Where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, rejoice. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, boy, you must have knew what was happening this year. See it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, or when faith passes the test, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then, as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. In the midst of difficulties, in the midst of our situations, we are to rejoice in the Lord. And again, rejoice in the Lord. Our joy is not based on agreeable circumstances. Instead, it is based on our relationship with the Lord. As we face the troubles before us in the world, we should rejoice in the trials we face because we know God is with us, God is for us, and God is in us. God is on the throne and seated at his right hand with all power and authority is Jesus. And you know what the word says? It says in Ephesians, God raised us up with Jesus and seated us with Jesus in the heavenly realms. We are seated with him in the heavenly realm. Yeah, really. Now, you can turn to Ephesians. We're going to do a lot in Ephesians, so just hang out there. Go to Ephesians. And we're going to, in verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I like that. Who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing? Meaning, we have all the benefits of knowing God, being chosen for salvation, being adopted as his children, forgiveness, insight, the gifts of the Spirit, power to do God's will, the hope. That is a confident expectation of living forever with Jesus. All because we have an intimate relationship with Jesus, we can enjoy these blessings. In the heavenly realms, these blessings are eternal. They're not temporal. They are eternal. Verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. God chose us in him. We are not saved because we deserve it, but because God is gracious and freely gives salvation. The plan of salvation, it was a mystery, and it was hidden. And it was originated in the timeless mind of God long before you and I existed. And why I say it was a mystery? It was a mystery to some, but not to all, once it's revealed to us. Because if Satan and a group would have known it, the word says they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. God knows what he's doing. God is in control. Because of Jesus Christ, we are holy, blameless in his sight, and we're covered in his love. What's love got to do with it? Verse 5. God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Predestined means marked out beforehand. We are marked out for adoption by him. And let me point out to you that back then, according to Roman law, adopted children had the same rights and privileges as biological children, even if they had been slaves. Whew, I'm getting goosebumps. Let it sink in. When the Apostle Paul used this term, it was to show how strong our relationship was to God. It was all part of God's plan and purpose for mankind. Through our relationship with Jesus, we have power and we have authority. Now, you're there in Ephesians. We'll look down to verse 15. Here, Paul is praying for the believers at Ephesus. Okay, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, the future. That's where we're at. That was back then. This is future. That was present time in that age. Verse 22. And he put all things under his feet. Clarify. And God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be head over all things to the ecclesia, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, I know we read a lot there. Verse 19, though. Paul prays that they would know the exceeding greatness of his power to those who believe. That exceeding great power is the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. Are you following this? Verse 21 tells us that Jesus is seated far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. The work God did in Jesus was supreme. He raised Jesus from the dead and set him far above all other authority, not only in this present world, but also in the heavenly world. He's the head honcho. Are you getting that? Above everything that's on this earth, above heaven. Who placed him there? God. Verse 22 says that God has put all things under his feet and made him head over the ecclesia, the church, which is his body. That's us. Where are the feet? They're in the body. In the body. All right? Are you getting it? We're the body. Feet. What's placed under our feet? All things. Why? Because we're seated with Christ in heaven. Is it getting in there now? As believers, we are part of his body and we are seated with him. That highly exalted place of authority. It's a place of authority. It's where he's reigning from. Praise God. Yeah, okay. Chapter 2 there in Ephesians. Verse 1. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Drop down to verse 4 now. Because of his great love for us. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Man, I thought I'd give you a lot more. There's a lot of people. I mean, I wish you could see some of the looks that I'm getting right now. Is it sinking in? We are seated together with him. And where is that? Far above all principality, all power, all might, and, hey brother, dominion.
There you go.
When I heard that, I said, come on, Jesus. Holy Spirit connects everything. Above dominion, pays the tithe. As believers, we have accepted the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary. Therefore, we are part of his body and are seated with him in that heavenly place, equipped with the same power, the same authority that he has. Wow, he's right. The great power that God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead is the same creative power of God that worked in you and me to make us alive when we were dead and in our trespasses and sins. The moment you made Jesus the Lord of your life, that same power was exercised on your dead, unregenerated spirit, causing it to be reborn into the likeness of God himself. I get excited. I want to go too fast. I got to slow down because you need to absorb this. Because as I study it, I got to read that again. I got to read that again. Is that what the scripture says? Go back. Yeah, it's what it says. And you want more insight into that? You know where you get it from? The Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus sent back the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He will reveal what's in here to you. And he also was sent here to remind us of what Jesus said. Now that's what Jesus said. You're going to need reminders. Some of you before the day's out are going to need another reminder. Am I the only one? Yeah, am I the only one? I'm having fun. As believers, we are part of his body and we are seated with him in the highly exalted place of authority. God's incomparably great power is available to us right now. Right now. I like what Jesus said in John 14:12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. That's pretty awesome. Dean, how long has it been since you guys been able to go down to the jail? Since this, I mean, this impacts with those men down there who are incarcerated into that jail. They're missing. They're hungry. And believe me, when these guys go back, they're going to get, it's going to be like the piranha attack. But there's a scripture they use down there, Dean, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. As new creations, we have been put in a position of power and authority, a position delegated to us by God through Jesus Christ. When you made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The word power is literally translated here, authority. We have been delivered from the power or the authority of darkness and placed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
I'm not going to get tired of reminding you of that, because that's what it's all about. The love of God. And it's shed abroad in our hearts. But Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's in Matthew 28, by the way, if you want to look me up. That power was given to you as part of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. You have entered into this position of authority because you are in Him. It pays to know who you are in Christ. Jesus succeeded in securing all power by going to the cross, by dying a horrible death, suffering the penalty of sin, and defeating Satan. He beat the living snot out of that boy. I'm telling you. He ain't got a tooth left. Jesus came to this earth as a man for one reason, to recapture the authority that Satan had stolen through Adam's disobedience in the garden. After securing that power and authority, He freely gave it over into the hands of those who would believe on Him. You and me. It is not enough for us to simply accept Jesus' work at Calvary. We are held responsible for much, much more. We're part of the enforcement. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Here are Jesus' words were not intended for the early church alone. His words are just as vital and real today as when they were first spoken. Jesus appeared to His disciples after His resurrection from the dead. His words to them formed the basic foundation for the work of the New Testament church, the ecclesia. That's us. It was at that time that He delegated the authority to carry out the work. Jesus said, go into all, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's for all of us. That's for all of us. You don't have to come to a pulpit to minister the word to people. You can do it from the doctor's office while you're getting adjusted. Ordering a pizza, you can get somebody can minister to you there. Your coworkers sitting there in the next cubicle, reach up over there. You can minister to them. Your coworkers sitting across from you at the desk. When you get out of that truck, Chad, and you walk into a place to make a delivery, you're going to be a minister right there to somebody. Because it's in you, brother. It's already in you to deliver it. And you know the perfect opportunity because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and He won't put you in a compromised position to get you embarrassed. He'll make sure that it's the right time and the right place, and it's the right person, and you're going to have free entrance to minister to that individual. Okay, where was I? I was back here, 15. Okay, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Notice who is to do all these things. It says right up there, it says, Mom, those who believe. Do you believe? Those who believe. The signs will follow. They will follow the believers who act in faith and boldly speak in Jesus' name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick. The believer is the one with the power and authority to do these things. Jesus is not on the earth. He can't lay hands on. You can. That's what you're here for. That's exactly right. We are his hands and we are his feet. And we are his mouthpiece. So watch what you say. But again, I like that. John 14, 12. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And he goes up there and he prays. He says, hey, Dad, we need to send the Holy Spirit now because they need power. And that's what we have, a powerful Holy Spirit on us. But you know, right here I got a little check and we went this direction. One of the most vital areas of the believer's authority is his power to successfully stand against Satan. He's real. But he's supposed to be afraid of him? No. He has no authority. No dominion. Ephesians 4, 27. Now, I know it says neither give place to the devil, but I like it in the easy-to-read version. Don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Don't you give the devil a way to defeat you. Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul describes the armor that we as believers are to wear in combat against our adversary, the devil. He explains each piece of God's armor. You hear what I said? It is the armor of God. Now pause for a moment and think about that. That is God's armor that you are putting on. How awesome is that? God's armor. And you're putting it on. And it's custom fit to you. How do I know that? Because you're made in his image. If it fits God, it's going to fit you. Each one of you are unique. Praise God. Now, okay, so let's look down to verse 11. Ephesians 6, verse 11 through 17. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and doing done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Not once does Paul say that God will put the armor on you or that God will fight the devil for you. You is the understood subject of these verses. I guess you got that the way I was reading it. He says, you be strong in the Lord. You put on the whole armor of God, that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of evil. And having done all, you stand. God has given you the power and the authority to stand against Satan and his destructive works. He has provided his armor for you, but it's your responsibility as a believer to put on the armor and stand against the devil. What's James 4, 7 say? You resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You resist the devil, and you'll send him running. The armor and the weapons are at your disposal. God is there with you to back his word, but all is worthless unless you take your position of authority. You're seated with him and assume the responsibility to use what he has provided. It's your responsibility to use it. He's not going to use it for you. He's not going to dress you up. You're not putting on a Halloween outfit to go out there. Sorry I had to use that, but that's the one I know most of you will understand. You're putting on battle armor. God's armor. You have the power and the authority to take the word of God, the name of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and run Satan out of your affairs and off your property. And then you drive in the no trespassing signs by putting down a bloodline and reinforcing it continually. It's going to need some upkeep from you. Don't pray and ask God to fight Satan for you. You are the one in authority. Take your responsibility and speak directly to Satan yourself and stand your ground firmly. He will flee. That's why you hear me confidently say, devil, you ain't got no hold on me. I'm not afraid to say it. Neither should you be, because you've been set free. Because Jesus set you free. And if Jesus set you free, you are free indeed. Ha! Jesus, we are seated with him in authority, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. That's talking about ruling authorities over top of us, governors, all that kind of stuff. It's wrapped into there. We reign with Christ, only no less. Let me read the last scripture here, Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6:10. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. That's the Holy Spirit. You are a keg of dynamite. Them devils don't want to have nothing to do with you. So remember that. Because we are a supernatural church composed of supernatural people, and we're accomplishing doing supernatural things is right. Praise God. Let's honor the Father right now. This is what Jesus accomplished for us. Victory. Victory at the cross.